So as we looked in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, we saw a testimony. And you might not have picked it up right then, but I plan to show it to you throughout the morning here. But if you look in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, you'll look at verse 5. It says, "When I call to remembrance." This is a time in which Paul is reflecting. Paul, the Apostle Paul, here is writing to Timothy, and he has a memory of something. And a memory is a legacy. It's a thought. It's something that occurred that is now reminding Paul in his mind. He said, "When I call to remembrance." And then he tells what that memory is. He talks about the unfeigned faith. And we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But as I talked earlier, we all have similarities. We all have differences. We're unique in several ways, but we also have common denominators. Every single one of us in this room this morning have some common denominators. The first type of common denominator is a past. A past meaning before now. Everyone in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, has a previous to where you are today. Now, they may be different, but nonetheless, a past the same. We have some that are great, and we have some that maybe aren't so great. So one common denominator is a past. Another common denominator is a tomorrow. Now, we know the Bible says that tomorrow is not promised to any of us. But for the sake of the message and for the sake of the thought, you do have a tomorrow coming. You can't just dwell on the today only. You have to be prepared for tomorrow also. So the other common denominator is not just the past in which we have had. It's a tomorrow in which is coming. Another day of choices. You have choices to make today. But guess what? Tomorrow, you're going to have another opportunity. Tomorrow, you're going to have more choices to make. Another common denominator that we all have is a testimony. We all have a legacy in which we leave behind, a name in which is to be remembered. Our mothers have testimonies. We're thankful this morning for the mothers that they've been in our lives and for our grandmothers and for our aunts and uncles. And maybe it's just been a good friend that's helped rear us and bring us up in adulthood throughout our lives. We all have somebody that we've looked up to that has helped mold us and shape us in times of need. That's a common denominator that we all have. But going past that, and we're thankful for our moms and so glad and so thankful that our moms are here this morning. But as I preach this morning, I'm not just going to preach to moms. And I'm not just going to preach to sons and daughters. I'm going to preach to everybody individually and understand that every single one of us, I don't care how old you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what tomorrow holds for you. Every single one of us will have a testimony about us. We have decisions to make. We have choices to make. On this Mother's Day, as we give much appreciated honor and respect to the mothers and women of our lives, I'd like us each to think of the testimonies that we each will leave behind. By way of introduction, I want to look at a few testimonies that we see here. If you take your Bible, look at it. Look at your Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 5. I want you to follow the best you can, and let me ask you going forward, because as I do anytime we have a number of visitors that might not be familiar with the service, this is normal. Let me remind you that now is the most important time of the day. Let me ask you not to move around. Let me ask you not to talk. Let me ask you not to distract those that are around you. Let me ask you to not try to get up, not try to leave, not try to move. If the building starts to burn down, I'll tell you. Other than that, I'd like everybody here to stay seated and stay quiet the best you can so that it, maybe you might not be interested, but the person next to you is, or the person around you is, and you might distract them a little bit. So if you would, do me a favor and just try to do your best to sit still and pay attention as you can. Children, especially Jamar talking to you. See this? I love you, buddy. I'm teasing you. So look at verse 5. So the first testimony that we see here mentioned in this passage is verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. He said, I call in remembrance thee. Paul said to Timothy, when I think about you. Paul said, when I think about you, Timothy, I think about your unfeigned faith. And that word unfeigned there means a number of things, but the most important thing that that unfeigned word means is sincere. So Paul is recollecting in his mind, he's coming to grips with, Timothy, that man right there, he has sincere faith. And he's reminding himself of this young preacher boy, Timothy, that has unfeigned faith in his life. And that's the first testimony that we see, is that Timothy made a name for himself, at least to Paul, that he has an unfeigned faith. And let me remind you, as I'm talking about Timothy and Paul here, let me tell you that you are leaving a memory in someone else's mind this morning. You left memories yesterday, and you're going to leave some more memories tomorrow, and you be very wise and very careful about the testimony that you're leaving behind. Because just as good as Paul recalled the unfeigned faith of Timothy, he can recall other situations for other folks that weren't so memorable or desired to be remembered. We've all done those things in our lives. That unfeigned is also unwavering and honest. In a nutshell, it's full of faith and reverence to God for it. Paul was able to look at Timothy and say, that man is so full of God that he lives it. That man is so full of God that he lives it. The second testimony that we see here is found in the same verse. Look at it with me. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, and then he says, where it came from. He says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. Here's a lady, Mom, here's a lady, Grandma, in the Bible that has another testimony. And the testimony to Paul, he said, Timothy, you have an unfeigned faith, and you have a sincere faith, and you have an unwavering faith. But I recall where you got it. And I said, he says, you got it from your grandmother, Lois, who then passed it on to your mother, Eunice. So Grandma had a testimony also. Grandma had a testimony of unfaith. This same faith came from that other testimony. Lois had the faith with her. But then Lois took that faith and she shared it with Eunice. And then Eunice took that faith and she shared it with Timothy. Three testimonies in a matter of a verse. All in an instant. Praise God that it was a good one. Praise God that it was a good one. Eunice decides, she chooses to inherit a similar testimony of Lois. She lives by an unfeigned faith too. You think about this. Now follow me here in real life. This is real life, by the way, but in your life. Take your life and realize and come to grips with the things in which you're taught. You then have a choice to follow them or not. Don't you think that Eunice had the same choice? Lois had the faith. Lois lived by faith. But then Eunice decided, I'm going to live by what Mama's living by. She had a choice. Okay, well then you take the same choice. So you got it from Grandma, now you have it to Mom, and Mom now takes it and she shares it with Son. And Timothy now has a choice. Timothy now has unfeigned faith that he's seen in Grandma Lois, that he's seen in Mom Eunice, and now Timothy has to sit back and he has to evaluate and say, is that for me? Praise God, Timothy said, yes, it's for me. You young people and you, even young adults and even middle-aged adults, you inherited things from your mom and your dad and your surroundings. Some of you were influenced by things that you ought not have been influenced by, but you've inherited some things because of it. But even just as you have a choice to make good, you have a choice to make bad. So, Lois has faith, Eunice takes it, Timothy gets it. Eunice has a choice, Timothy has a choice. Good things, but there's also bad things that we may get, and we have a choice whether to take them or not either. You have a choice to take the bad things just as you do the good things. And I come to tell you this morning that you be careful, because you will leave behind a testimony of one way or the other, not only in your life to live today, but in your children's lives to live tomorrow. And in not only in your children's lives tomorrow, but your grandchildren's lives in years to come. And you folks that are grandparents today know what I'm talking about when you see it coming down the line. Boy, one of them famous statements that moms always make: I can't wait until you have one of you. Right? I can't wait to see the day that you have one of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? And then we say, oh, Ma, you just teasing, Ma. You just kidding. Oh, my goodness, she was right. And how many phone calls? Mama, I'm sorry. Mama, I should have known better. You tried to tell me, Mama, I should have known better. Hey, but not to get somber on you, but how many of those times you don't get to make that phone call? How many times you don't say, you don't get the chance, and people don't get the chance to say, Mama, I'm sorry. You still got a chance today. Most of us still have a chance today. So Timothy then has a choice. He doesn't have to live by the same faith. He chooses to live by the same faith. But because he does, now he's doing the work of the Lord. Praise God, he reached that destination. He placed himself in the right position to do so by choice. Timothy didn't have to do it. He didn't have to be a good testimony. He didn't have to live by unfaith. He chose to live by unfeigned faith. But now in verse 6, he's done more than simply have faith. He's put his faith to action. Look at verse 6 with me. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. Paul is saying to Timothy, he's saying, look, you have a testimony of unfeigned faith. But now, because of that unfeigned faith, I see you working in the Lord. And I have put my trust in you, Timothy. I've placed my hands on you, Timothy, and I'm excited to see what you're about to do in the Lord. It's all a matter of testimony where it began, because of the choices in which Timothy made, because of the choices in which Eunice made, because of the choice in which Lois made, now enables three generations later for the son to live and work in the Lord. All over a choice. All over a choice. He was endorsed. He was supported. He was encouraged. Faith started it. Lois started it. Eunice continued it. And Timothy caught it. Timothy caught it. It was a faithful grandma that started this work decades before by testimony of her faith. Grandma had a legacy. Grandma had a name for herself. And that was, I trust God. Hey, Eunice, I've lived my life. I've made it through some hard times. And hey, Eunice, I've had those moments where I couldn't afford my rent. And hey, Eunice, I had those moments where I didn't know where that meal was coming from. And hey, Eunice, I had my moments to where I didn't know how your dad and I were going to get through it. And I didn't know how that illness was going to work out. And I didn't know how that school year was going to go. And I didn't know how that car was going to get fixed. And I didn't know how I was going to get to work. And Eunice, I've had some days, Eunice. But Grandma said, but I always made it one way or the other. I always made it. And even when I didn't make it, I made it. It was okay. It was okay. And then Eunice does the same thing with Timothy. And I can't imagine Eunice sitting here and she's got little Timothy on her lap. And she's got Timothy sitting here and she's got her arm around him and she's got the arm around his waist. And she says, Timothy, let me tell you something, buddy. You're about to go into this thing called life and you're going to have some difficult situations. And I tell you what, you're going to have some times, sometimes where you're not going to know what the decision is. You're going to have some times, sometimes where you're going to look up at God and you're going to look down at the ground and you're going to look around at your surroundings and you're going to say, I don't have the answer, but I'm scared to death. But I tell you what, Timothy, I'll tell you what my mama taught me. Have faith. Have faith, Timothy. And she pats him on the back. As she pats him on the head, she says, I got it. Now you have it. But Timothy, sitting on Mama's lap, has a choice to make. You see, Timothy doesn't have to get up and say, okay, Mama. Timothy can say, no, that's not for me. Heartaches are still going to come. Trials are still going to come, but the answer might not be found as simply as it would be in a person who puts their faith in God the Creator. But it's a choice. So we've got Lois, we've got Eunice, we've got Timothy. It was a mother who caught it from the grandmother that passed it on to her son, who then made a choice for himself. He chose to have a testimony for himself. Let me break in the message just a minute and talk to you about choices. Let me talk to you about choices. The choices you make today affect your tomorrow.
Amen.
But not only do they affect your tomorrow, they might affect your next two decades. They might affect your next three decades.
Amen.
Or four. They might not change the rest of your life because of poor choices. Now, there is hope in those poor choices, but it ain't going to be through you. It's going to be through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Him alone that helps you with those choices. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. We've all done it. Hey, we were all dealt hands in life. We were all dealt situations in life. We've all had rough spots. We've all had pasts. And we all have futures. But same amount of time in a day and same amount of opportunities in life. The difference between the two is choices. You know, my day is no longer than your day. My minute is no longer than your minute. My second is no longer than your second. My hour is no longer than your hour. And my day is certainly not any longer than your day. But what is different amongst those days is the choices in which we make. The choices in which we make. We all have an opportunity to leave a testimony. We all have an opportunity to love. We all have an opportunity to hate. We all have an opportunity to be bitter. We all have an opportunity to be frustrated. We all have an opportunity to be aggravated. We all have an opportunity to love. We all have an opportunity to forgive. We all have an opportunity to start over. But it will all be affected by the choices in which we make. Choices make the difference. Some of the three biggest choices you'll make in your life. One is your friends. One is your friends. The biggest trouble or the biggest help will be your friends. Not just young adults. Older folks too. I'm talking about seniors that have been around for years. I'm talking about folks who've been involved in the church. I'm talking about from the littlest to the highest. Who you choose to be friends with will help your faith or lack thereof. And you know those people that you talk to, and you know those people that you hang around, and you know gossiping, I don't want to put names out there because you might have a friend with their name. We'll say gossiping Jane Doe and gossiping John Doe. And I've got my friend over here, and all they like to do is bash people. All they like to do is talk about someone else, and before you know it, I start agreeing with them. Before you know it, I don't have much of appreciation for the same person because I see them in a different perspective because somebody has bashed their name. And therefore, that's a bad testimony for that person based off of someone else's personal opinion, but I didn't have a chance to form my own. But because of my friend, I now have an opinion that you would have never gotten on your own. But then you've got young people who choose the friends in which they hang out with. The decisions in which they make on whether to do this or whether to do that, or whether to go here or whether to go there, or whether to say this or whether to say that, or whether to get involved in this situation or stay out of that situation. And you've always got that influence on the side that says, it's not that bad. Come on. It's all right. It'll be okay. Nothing's going to go wrong. And you got to be wise enough to say, and strong enough to say, nah. Because you got a choice right here. You can go along with the flow, or you can go against the grain. And both choices are going to take you to a destination. You will arrive somewhere. Whether you say, I'll go with you the flow, or I will go against the grain, you're going to end up in a spot. You do have somewhere which you will arrive. So the difference is in the choice in which you make and how you're going to get there. You have a choice to make. I think about another decision that we make, another choice that we make is places. Where we go, why we go. Let me tell you this. If you're supposed to be home, go there. If you're supposed to be at work, go there. If you're supposed to be with family, go there. If you're supposed to be in a certain place at a certain time because you know it's right to be there at that place in their time, go there. Be there. That's a choice you make. Go, don't go. To be or not to be. Go or don't go. Hey, that decision is made on Sunday morning. Church? No church. Be careful. Your choice is going to end you up in a place. You're going to arrive at a destination. And sometimes that destination might be a good place, but now you're a little hindered. Now it's going to take a little longer to arrive to it because you took some breaks along the way. You know, driving from here down to Disney World when we went a few years ago, I like driving straight through, man. I don't want to stop to eat. I don't want to stop to use the bathroom, use the porta potty in the back seat. I just want to get there. I don't want to stop. My kids will tell you, my kids will tell you, can we stop, please? You can hold it for another hour. I got to get through the state line and I got to pass through this toll. Hold on. But we don't like hindrances along the path. We just want to get there. Sometimes you need those rests. Sometimes you got to stop, get out, and stretch. But sometimes there's a storm coming. I got to keep on and get to where I belong. You got to be wise enough to make those choices in your life, and you got to have somebody that helps you make those choices in your life, but that's for later in the sermon. The next choice that you'll make is character. Your standards, your convictions, your beliefs, your purpose. If they are empty, you're without direction. Your spending habits, what you're used to doing, what you want to do because you just want to do it, comfort rather than character. You can choose comfort rather than character. But as we learned in Sunday school, there's a virtuous woman who even when tired, who even when hurting, who even when aching, did what she was supposed to do when she was supposed to do it. That's a choice to make. Character is a choice. To have character in your life is a choice. Choices will make or break your testimony. Choices will make or break your testimony. Everyone has a testimony. We all leave a place or a moment or a conversation or a relationship with a testimony. Praise God for some ladies who made right choices that led Timothy to make right choices in his life. And moms, let me remind you that you have the greatest opportunity, responsibility, and influence for the young people in which you have to influence their testimony. And you can set along guidelines and restrictions, and you can put them on a path, and you can set them on that path. And although you can lead a horse to water and he might not drink it, although you can put that young man on a path that he ought to take, he can choose to step off of it. But mama, you do your part. Mama, you be in your place at your time doing your thing, choosing for the best you can in that moment. And then let that young man or young woman make her decisions along the way. But you also be those bumper guards and smack them upside the back of the head when they need it. Anybody ever go bowling with the bumper guards? Puts that ball right back on track? Puts that ball sometimes? This is that bumper guard. Stop that. You know better. I love you. Now get over here, but you're not going that route. I'm not letting you go down that road. Hey, I'm not letting... Why, son? Because you're leaving behind a testimony, and your kids are going to have to deal with that testimony, and your grandkids are going to have to deal with that testimony, and your county's going to have to deal with that testimony, and all these people around you have to deal with the decision in which you make. And I love you enough to not put you in that situation. So you're not doing it. And I'm strong enough to let you get upset at me. You're not doing it. You can get mad at me today and love me tomorrow, but you're not doing it. You're not going. My daddy said, you're not going out on the corner and hanging out with those friends. You ain't doing it. But daddy, they're good people. I have friends. I have fun. I talk to them at school all the time. We hang out at lunch together. We say that's not like it. You're not hanging out with them. Amen. End of story. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. They said, nope. Praise God. They kept me from doing some dumb things. It may have hurt my feelings in a moment, but I have a testimony that I didn't injure. Oh, you can get past it. It can heal. Absolutely. There's hope for tomorrow. No doubt about it. We'll get into that in a second. But the bottom line is, we all have a testimony. We all have choices in which to make. I'm going to give you three quick things and we'll be done. I know I've gone a little longer. I'll be done, I promise you, in the next 5 minutes, if you'll just hang with me. If I could, I want to give you three ways to secure a good testimony. I'm talking to moms, I'm talking to dads, I'm talking to kids. Three easy ways to leave behind a good testimony. Number one, have a reason for your life. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. So remember, this is talking about Timothy. It's talking about faith. It's talking about Lois. It's talking about Eunice. Grandma and mom passed on faith to Timothy. And in verse 9, why is Timothy serving the Lord, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began? Have a reason. How do I leave behind a good testimony? Have a reason to wake up tomorrow. Have a reason to do right today. Have a reason to do right tomorrow. Have a reason to do right the next day. Have a reason to do right 3 weeks from now, when I won't remember the sermon and I won't remember the time and I won't remember the emotion of the service and I won't remember what happened that day and I won't remember the specials in which are sung. But now I'm faced with a choice. And I've got to decide what to do next. Well, your reason will guide that choice. But no reason, no purpose, greater danger of wrong choice. Greater danger of wrong choice. You've got to decide how to have a good testimony. You've got to decide first your reason for living. Secondly, you've got to have a roadmap. You've got to heave to a roadmap. In verse 9 there, same verse, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. Go down, it says, but according to his own purpose and grace. You know, if you didn't know it already, God gave us a roadmap. God gave us a guideline. Hey, this is life's instruction manual. So how do I leave behind a good testimony? I find a reason for living today and I find a reason for living tomorrow. And that reason, if you didn't have one, his name is Jesus. And as you get to know Jesus a little bit better, Jesus said, I got a roadmap for you. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, I came to redeem a relationship that was lost. I came to keep you out of hell, and I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, he said. But if you'll just follow my map, you can have it. And then, so we heed to a roadmap. So the first step to a good testimony is to have a reason. The second step to a good testimony is to heed to a roadmap. And the third and final is this: honor the Redeemer. Look there at the end of verse 9, which was given us in who? Jesus. Given us in who? So he gave us life. He gave it to us more abundantly, but it goes to a person. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Honor the Redeemer. If you're not saved this morning, you need to be saved. Amen. If you have never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, the Bible says you have spiritual blinders on that you can't see certain things. Without Christ in your heart, I may be want Charlie Brown all morning. Without Christ in your heart, you may heard truth and it may resonate with you a little bit. It may spark some interest, but the Bible says that when you have Christ in your heart, you see it differently. You need the Redeemer. If there's never been a time in your life when you stopped and you said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And God, I know that there's a penalty to pay for that sin that I can't pay. And Lord Jesus, I need you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sin and pay my sin debt. That's the first way to accepting the Redeemer. Then you need to live for someone other than yourself. His name is Jesus Christ. honor the Redeemer by living for him. Hey, my choices are simplified because of my reason of living. My choices are simplified because of the roadmap in which I'm following. And my choices are simplified because of the Redeemer in which I choose to honor. So therefore, my testimony that's left behind is affected by the choices in which I've made based around my reason, my roadmap, and my Redeemer. So if I don't have a reason for living tomorrow, what am I more likely to do? Screw up. If I don't have a roadmap in which to follow and I try to put my life together, what am I likely to do? The wrong screws in the wrong place at the wrong time, mess the whole thing all up. So then, if I've got my reason and I've got my roadmap, now I have my Redeemer, and it all boils down to this, the old, what would Jesus do? And that's not the sermon this morning, but for sake of memory, I think it's helpful to you. You ever get involved in a situation and you say, what would Jesus do? I'm not doing it. And praise God for a testimony in which you say at that moment, you saved yourself a jail time. You saved yourself a court date down the road. You saved yourself a stolen car or a fight. Or you saved yourself a broken relationship between a mom and a dad. Or between a mom and a son or a dad and a daughter. And you saved yourself because you had a roadmap to follow. You had a purpose, in which to live. And then you had a Redeemer in which you boiled it down to and said, God, I don't know the answer right here. So God, would you show me what I need to do? And if you're saved, he'll tell you. And you know right from wrong. That conscience is not just a conscience. When you have salvation inside of you, when you have Jesus Christ right here, that conscience is called the Holy Spirit. And you know when he smacks you upside the head and say, no, wrong way. I had a little Mario Kart game on Nintendo 64, and I'm that young. Yes, by the way, I had a Nintendo 64. And I had me a little Mario Kart game, and I would always try to go around the system. That's always been my life, is I was always trying to go around the system and make things better for myself, as you ought not do, by the way. But I didn't follow the instructions of the game, so I would go the wrong way, and on the screen would flash, no, wrong way, no. Wrong way. Hey, you're not going to reach your destination going this way is what it's telling you. You're not going to end up at the finish line. You're not going to end up with the trophy. You're not going to end up the winner. You're going behind. You're going backwards. Hey, turn around. My choice said, no, I just want to explore this route. And guess what I got? Loss. Guess what I got? Failure. Guess what I got? Distracted. And what did it keep me from? Winning. Kept me from winning. You have a testimony. Mom, dad, son, daughter, you have a testimony in your home right now. You have a testimony to your neighbors right now. You have a testimony to your friends right now. You have a testimony to your whole family one way or another. And praise God, some are good. And ask God to help you for the ones that ain't. And you've got family members that you maybe rubbed the wrong way. You've got attitudes in which you've had or seen that maybe should have been handled a little bit differently. You've needed a sense of grace in your life, so why don't you give that same grace to someone else, the same in which it's been shared with you? You have a testimony to leave behind. Not just what's in the past, what's also in the morrow, but not just here. All around. Praise God for the faith of a Lois and a Eunice who passed it down to a Timothy. But then the choice that Timothy made to keep it. The choice he made to keep it. Shall we all stand?